So you're going to encounter some things this next year. It's unavoidable. But your response to what's coming is totally in your control. It's in your control how you respond to what's coming. In this new year, you're going to get another year older. My daughters, when they turned 30, they had a pact between each other. They were not to call each other on their 30th birthday and wish each other a happy birthday. To them, 30 was the end. Their life was practically over at age 30. So you didn't call them at age 30. But you're going to get another year older. And you know what? The response to getting another year older and the things that come along with age is totally into your under your control. My response to becoming older is, I'm thankful. I'm another year smarter. I've got another year's experience. God has taken me from there to here. So I'm going to be thankful. Seasons are going to change. Some of you may not know this, but I don't like winter. It's cold. And I don't like the cold. But you know what? My response to that's in under my control. So I'm going to be thankful for winter. I'm going to be thankful for the seasons. Political events are going to unfold this next year. Now, your guy might have gotten elected into office, and your guy might not have gotten elected into office. Your response to who's in office is under your control. What does the Bible say? It says to pray for your leaders. So it doesn't matter who's in control. There's still somebody in control right now for another 22 days. We're to be praying for President Biden and Vice President Harris. It's in our control, what we do. And you know what? People are going to continue to have opinions of you. People may even criticize you. Anybody ever been criticized? Yesterday? No, I wouldn't criticize yesterday. But you know what? How I respond to that is totally under my control. And my opinion is only God's opinion matters. Amen. Wind and rain, hard times, challenges will be vehemently upon your house. Well, I rebuke that, Pastor. You know, what do you mean challenges are going to come my way? Well, the Bible says, count it all joy when you encounter various trials. They're going to try to come. The devil doesn't leave us alone just because we tell him to. He's going to keep coming back. Matter of fact, when he tempted Jesus in the wilderness, he said it tempted him, and then he left to return at a more opportune time. He wasn't done with Jesus. Challenges are going to come your way this year. Your response is under your control. God is not going to make you do anything. He's not going to make you obey the word. He's not going to make you sit down and read your Bible, meditate on the word, have it deep within your spirit, and then act upon it. He's not going to make you do that. That's under your control. As I said earlier in James chapter 1, reading verses 2 and 3, it says, consider it pure joy, or count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds. Who gets happy when trials come? Because you know that the testing of your faith, you know that the testing of your trust in Jesus and what his word says produces perseverance or patience. So when trials come your way, challenges come your way, whatever they may look like, you trust in the one who controls say it that way. Trust in the one who's made promises to you. And he'll see you through every one of those challenges. He'll see you through every one of those trials. He's brought you through challenges. He's brought you too through challenges. And our response to that is under our control too. How do we respond to when Jesus brings us through something? How do we respond? Well, you said you'd do it, so you better have done it. Is that a response? No, man, you praise him. You praise him for what he's brought you through. Some of us have been hit with some pretty hard things this last year. And you're coming out on the other side now. So rejoice. Be glad. Share with someone else. Explain to them, here's where I was. Here's the journey that I was on. And here's where God brought me out. And now I'm praising him. I'm raising my hands. I'm rejoicing because he is a good God. What you came out of, remember it. But don't bring the hardship with you. Bring the praise. Don't focus on the struggle. I mean, when you're witnessing somebody, you're testifying to somebody, maybe you do share the events. But that's not your focus. Your focus is on the praise for who he is and what he's promised you. In Lamentation chapter 3, starting with verse 22, it says, "The faithful love of the Lord never ends." Or some versions say, never ceases. So it's always there. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. Great is his faithfulness. Faithfulness to what? Faithfulness to his word and faithfulness to his people. Great is his faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him. I will have an expectation in him. I will have a confident expectation in him because of what he did and what he's doing and what he's promised he will always do. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. The Lord is good to those who depend upon him. When you depend upon him, he comes through. He's good. Whatever you're going through, the mess, the muck, the mire, the junk, the stink, whatever it is that you're going through, he's good to be true to his word to bring you up out of that. The Lord is good to those who depend upon him, to those who search for him. Why are there stipulations? Sometimes there are. So it is good to wait quietly for salvation from the Lord. Your best days are not behind you. They're just ahead of you. Thanks, Siri. I love that. No, I'm saying your best days are not behind you. They're ahead of you. And even ministry-wise, we always refer to this ministry here or brother so-and-so here, brother this and that, the things that happened back then, oh, the miracles, the faith movement, the healing revival, all these different things. Those things happened then. They were good for that day. We can learn from those things. We may have been healed in those things, but our best days are ahead of us. God has things that he wants for us now, today, and in the future that are going to eclipse what happened back then. He's got things in store for you. Your best days are ahead of you. Your ministry to this lady, that's best days which are ahead of you. If she's not born again, she gets born again. Best days are ahead of us. There's so much that God has in store for us. Personally, naturally, and spiritually. But we got to stay in faith. We got to stay focused on the promises of the Word. There's too many things around us that distract us. We have to refuse the distractions. I can be back there in my office on a weekday. I know I came here, I was here Friday and Saturday working on my lesson. And there's so many things that in my mind popped up. Well, I got to get on the computer and I got to do this and I got to do this over here. I got this going on. And I started to do some of those things. It's like, stop! It's a distraction keeping me from doing what I know that I came here to do. Stop it! I had to yell at myself. Anybody ever yelled at yourself? Quit. Get down to the business of why you're here. We cannot and have not ever imagined what God has in store. What God has arranged, actually, what God has arranged for those who love and trust in Him. In Ephesians chapter 3, starting with verse 20. Now to Him who is able. Now to God who is able. God who is able. That means He can do. There's no impossible involved in this. Now to God, to Him who is able to do immeasurably. You can't measure it. More than all we ask or imagine. He can do more than our minds can even think of, can even imagine, can even ask. He can do more than that. There's more in store for you than what you can even believe, that you can even drum up in your own mind. He has something in store for you beyond you. Whoo! Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to the power that works in us. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead resides in you. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is going into 2025 with me. A God who can do immeasurably more than I can ask or imagine, that's going into 2025 with me, more than what was in 2024. I'm going to get a deeper revelation of what He has in store for me, the power working through me. I'm going to get a deeper revelation of that to where He's going to do greater things through me, through you, throughout this community, in your own lives, in your family. He's going to do things that are immeasurably greater than what you can ask or even imagine. Whoo! So what that tells me is the best is yet to come. This next year, I'm looking at it as a level up year. It's going to be a level up year. No more status quo. No more living the way that I've been living for the past 25 years. Doing the same things I've been doing for the past 25 years. It's going to be a level up year. But it's going to take me pursuing Him. We've got control over so many things that'll come our way this year. And as a believer, the source of that control is the Word and being led by the Spirit. That's the source that we should be tapping into when it comes to 2025. The things that are going to come our way this next year, we need to be tapping into the Word like we've never tapped into the Word before. Why do you keep talking about the Word? Well, the Word is how we are to live our lives. We are to imitate Christ. Well, how do we find out anything about Christ? Through His Word. Studying, meditating on His Word. So if we're going to have something different going on in 2025 than what we had going on in 24, you might have thought you had a pretty good 2024. But guess what? When we dive into the Word and we're led by the Spirit, then we can have an even better 2025. Or if you've had a lousy 2024, you really want to have a good 2025. Well, the source of that is the Word and being led by the Spirit. You got a lot of people who walk around here, what's today, the 29th? Here in just a couple of days, there are going to be people staying up till midnight. I'm not one of them. I'm a 9:30 person at the latest normally. I think last year I did stay up till midnight. We were over in Windsor, weren't we, I think? Anyway, we were in Windsor. And I'm sitting there, I'm watching some New Year's Eve thing on TV, and it struck midnight, and I said, "Happy birthday or Happy New Year to me," and I went to bed. And that was the extent of my New Year's celebration. But there's going to be a lot of people saying Happy New Year. A lot of people are going to hug and kiss each other. Some of them, they don't even know who they're kissing or hugging. They don't even know who those people are, but they're going to do it. But as believers, the only way to ensure that we have a Happy New Year is to align our lives as closely as we can with the Word of God. Because you're going to face challenges. There's going to be trials coming your way in 2025. And the only way that you're going to escape those, I shouldn't even say escape, the only way you're going to overcome those is tapping into the Word and then being led by the Spirit. Preacher, you say that all the time, tap into the Word, be led by the Spirit. Yes, I do. Because that's our source. We're not praying to some stock market, hoping that it rises and that, oh, we'll be prosperous this year. We're not hoping in some person to deposit some check into our bank and looking for checks in the mail. They may, and that's okay. But I'm not depending on that. I'm tapping into what the Word says, the promises that God has given to me, tapping into those, and walking those out, being led by His Spirit. That's how my 2025 is going to go. And I guarantee you, I will have a more prosperous 25 than I had 24. In all areas of my life. I'm not talking about just money. I'm talking about relationships. I'm talking about health. I'm talking about money. I'm talking about all kinds of areas. Every area that affects my life, I'm going to prosper in every single area because I'm going to tap into my source. I have control over whether I tap into the source or not. I can choose to not tap into the source, and that way I can choose to struggle when those trials come my way. It's a choice that I make. Or I can tap into the source and overcome every single one of those trials. It's my choice. Here's a promise that Jesus made to his disciples that applies to us today. It's in John chapter 16. We're talking about the Word and we're talking about being led by the Spirit. Chapter 16, verse 13 says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth." So we're tapping into the Word and being led by the Spirit. He's going to guide us. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is to come. Verse 14. "He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you." The Holy Spirit will receive from God and make known to you. Isn't that exciting? That God is going to speak, the Holy Spirit's going to come, and he's going to reveal those things to you. What are you going through? What struggle are you having? What are you having need of in your life? What do you search? And search the word for that. The Holy Spirit will speak to you through the word and tell you what God has for you. Huh. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. All that the Father has, Jesus is speaking here, he says, is mine. So all that the Father has is mine, and I'm giving it to you. Wow. Everything that the Father has is in here. Jesus says it's mine, and everything that's in here, he says, I'm giving it to you. What do you need? Anybody ever needed anything in regards to their health? He says, I'm giving it to you. He says, by his stripes, we were healed. You got a beggar sitting at the gate here, at the temple gate, and Peter and John come in there, and he's sitting there begging for alms. He's wanting money. And they said, I don't have silver and gold, but what I do have, which is something that God gave to Jesus, which he's giving to us, what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise, take my hand, and stand up and walk. And he walked at that moment. Things haven't changed. He still does that today, if we get a hold of it, if we tap into the source. It's not there right now, but he's got good things for you. Good things he wants to do in you. That is why I said, the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. The Spirit and the Word work hand in hand. Now, this Happy New Year that we're looking for, it's going to require a little bit of effort on our part. It's going to require tapping into that source. It's going to require not only tapping into the source, but actually doing what the source says and being led by the Spirit. You know, you may have said, man, I study the Word. Study the Word every day. And that is great. I'm glad. We need to. But if we want to go next level, we got to study it next level. We're not taking practical math anymore. We passed practical math. Now, if that's where you started, you're moving on to algebra. Algebra 2, geometry, which I hated, but I took it anyway. Trigonometry, somebody else, I think Carrie took that, and it's like I wasn't even attempting that class. But we're going next level. If we want to go next level, then we have to learn to study and meditate and walk out the Word of God at next level also, which means you need to commit your life to the source. It's not that you can't have fun, not that you can't go on a vacation, not that you can't go play baseball or whatever, frisbee golf. We love frisbee golf around here. Not that you can't do those things, but next level says when you want to go play disc golf, you got to lay that aside when the Holy Spirit saying, no, I need you here right now. That's going next level. Laying aside something that you want to do, that you desire to do, to say, no, I got to go next level. I need a happy new year in 2025, which means I need to tap into the source. So whatever you were doing before, do a little more. But Rick, I don't like to read. I don't like to study. I don't like school. I fall asleep studying. I had when I was working at the prison, had an inmate, Milak was his first name. And I would run him back and forth to the hospitals. And over the course of time, I got a chance to witness to him, and he became a Christian. And but he always said, you know, I always fall asleep when I read. When I try to read the Bible, I always fall asleep. I said, well, what part of the day are you the most awake? If you're the most awake at 1 o'clock in the afternoon and you've got the time and the ability, read your Bible then. Who says that you have to read it at 4:30 in the morning? I'm not awake at 4:30 in the morning most days. I'm not reading, unless the Holy Spirit wakes me up and says, read your Bible, I'm not getting up to read the Bible at 4:30 in the morning. But find the time that you are most awake, that you are most alert, that you can devote your time, your study to the Word, and do it. And that's what this, Melech, that's what he ended up doing. I haven't seen him in a number of years. I don't know where he's at. I don't know what he's doing. I'm just believing that God, as he pursued God, as he tapped into the source, he's going next level every year. So we got to take a little bit of time each day and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us. And as time goes by, you'll realize how much God loves you. And in turn, you'll begin to realize how much you really do love him. Got to go next level, though. You got to tap into the source. You know, some people say, well, unless you don't study the Bible for 4 hours every day and pray for 3.5 hours, you're not going next level. Don't try to guilt me into reading the Bible. I'm going to, if you take one verse and you meditate on that and you think about that one verse every day or all day, when you try to take that one verse and you try to walk that verse out throughout your day, to me that's more important than reading 6 chapters and getting nothing out of it. My transformation, when it came to reading the Bible, it changed everything. It changed my expectations. I didn't like to read. I read my first book from cover to cover, my very first book from cover to cover when I was a senior in high school. The Hobbit was my first book I ever read. I went to a Promise Keepers conference. And the Lord did something in me during that conference that changed everything. I started reading the Bible, paying attention to commas, question marks, exclamation points, and reading it as if it's a comma, there's a pause, a question mark, reading it even out loud as a question, reading it that way, and it started to become alive to me. It wasn't just words on a page at that point. And when I started reading it that way and had an expectation that what the Word was saying was true and that it applied to me, all of it applied to me, I've got shelves of books that I've read cover to cover now. But I will say, none of them replace this. There's not one book that should ever replace this. Right here, your Bible. So when I had that expectation that it not only changed my life, it changed the atmosphere around me. I was different. People physically noticed the difference, the way that I responded to things. I had another inmate year. I keep going back to prison because I spent 26 of my years of my life in prison, just so you know. That sounded bad, but I spent 26 years of my life in prison. I had another inmate who came through the processing, our B of I. And he recognized me. He knew me from 1991. Remembered me from 1991. And this is many years later. And we always called each other by last name. I never told anyone my first name. Most of the officers didn't know my first name. But he said, Medeiros. And I knew who he was. Mason Williams was his name. And he says, you're different. I said, I know. I had an awakening 3 years into my career at the prison that the Lord told me, he says, I died for them just like I died for you. Changed my thinking from that moment forward. To the point where people noticed the difference. Why? I tapped into the source. I didn't want to be how I was back here in this year, it was 1991. Now we're in 1993. I needed to be different. Just like we're coming out of 2024, going into 2025, some things should be different this year. We shouldn't be the same as we were in 2024. We should be next level. As believers, the way to do that is you tap into the source, the Word, and being led by the Spirit. A 2025 led by the Word and the Spirit will be a prosperous life. You'll not... The Word has always been the Word. Psalm says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Want for what? Want for anything. If He's your shepherd, you will never want for anything. The Word has always been the Word. It's just our tapping into it has been the problem, has been the issue. Now, I believe that we've been tapping in, but as individuals and as a body, we need to go next level. And we're going to go next level. So as we enter 2025, our desire should be that our lives reflect the Word and what it's called us to do and be. Whatever the Word says should be our immediate response in every situation. But it can't be your immediate response in every situation if you don't know what the Word says. So if you want 2025 to be better than 2024 as a believer, and you believe that the Word is real, you believe that the Word is true, you believe that it's active, you believe that it works, that it goes out, it doesn't return void, it accomplishes what it is set out to do, and that it's prosperous in everything that it was sent, then if you believe that, then we've got to start acting on it. And it may not come easy. It may not be natural even at this point. When I started playing disc golf, I went to the Disc Golf Bible to learn to play disc golf. It's called YouTube. You can learn everything on YouTube. Somebody has done it and somebody has posted it. And one of the first things that they tell you on that when you're learning to throw and learning to throw properly, when you come by with the disc, you release it. If you're looking at a clock, you release it at 10 o'clock. And then you come through with your follow-through. James Conrad always brought his elbow pointing at his target. You come through on your follow-through, but you always release it at 10 o'clock. And so every time I would go out there and play, I would always concentrate on releasing that disc at 10 o'clock. Releasing it at 10 o'clock. I go out there again the next time. Release it at 10 o'clock. Follow through. Release it at 10 o'clock to the point where I got to, I didn't even think about 10 o'clock anymore. I just went out there and threw it. And it left my hand at 10 o'clock. Now, do I throw the perfect shot every time? Far as you know, I do. No, I don't throw the perfect shot every time. But I don't have to think about it anymore. I don't have to think about the release. The more that we get into the Word, the more that we study the Word, the more that we practice the Word, and we may not get it right every time, but the more that we study it, the more that we practice it, the more that we walk it out, it becomes natural to us. We don't even think about it anymore. When we're faced with a situation, that's what comes up out of us. The Word comes up out of us. Acting upon the Word is what we do as believers. When you tap into the source, you may not get it right every time. You may fall, you may stumble, you may have issues when it comes to dealing with the situation the way you should every time. Keep practicing. Keep practicing. Doctors are practicing medicine. They're not quitting. They're still practicing. You got to keep practicing. So how we respond to things in 25, in line with the Word, it's going to require practicing, meditating, and practicing the Word, being led by the Spirit. Going into 2025, change doesn't come by sheer willpower. How many have started a diet on January 1st and ended it on January 3rd? How many have signed up for the gym on January 1st and ended it on January 1st? It's hard. My gym is the disc golf course, but I am going there today to sign up from January to April because it's cold outside, and I'm thankful for winter. But we have the ability and the opportunity to determine what happens in our lives this next year. To determine what we bring or leave behind as we enter this next year is up to us. I'm bringing in an attitude of next level. I'm bringing that with me. The level that I was at before, thankful for it. Great things happened there, but my best days are ahead. So I'm bringing next level into 2025 with me. So I'm bringing a next level love into 2025 with me. Well, I'm pretty good at loving people. I'm pretty good at loving my spouse. Let's go next level. Why stay at that level? Let's jump up. Well, I'm going to bring a next level peace of mind into 2025. Okay, that's what I'm doing. I'm going to bring a greater joy into 2025. I'm going to see others in a different way. I'm going to see the good in other people in a different way. I'm going to try to bring joy into a room every time I walk into the room. I want the joy of the Lord to be the strength in my life. I'm going to bring next level relationships into 2025. There may have been some relationships that we struggled with in 2024. There may have been some relationships, and there is a relationship that I struggled with in 2024, and I want to mend that relationship in 2025. And the way that I'm going to be able to do that is tap into the source. God is love. Well, if he's love, then I need to be love. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring a greater relationship, next level relationships into 2025. Next level wealth, financially and kingdom wealth. I'm going to bring those things into 2025 with me. Next level spiritual growth. I want to grow more. I don't want to stay where I was. I want to be here. If you're looking for Rick in 2024, he's not there anymore. He's over here in 2025. He's not the same. He's different. And you're going to see a remarkable greater difference. Church growth. This church growth. I had a conversation with somebody here the other day, and I'm talking numerically, by the way. Had a conversation with somebody the other day. I want to see 100 people in this church by the end of this year. 100 people in this church by the end of this year. And guess what? I can't do it alone. I'm praying. I'm believing God. He's made a promise to me. I'm believing for it. But guess what? We are the hands and feet of God on this earth. So what does that mean? You got to talk to people. You got to share the love of Jesus with people. And you got to invite people to church. Look around the room when you come in this place. I'm going to say this. This is not a negative confession. Don't get me wrong, because Carrie and I have talked about this. It's not a negative confession. How many kids do you see in the church here? How many kids do you see in the church here? What's the average age of this church here? I'm not condemning anybody in the church. I'm just saying, think about it. We need the 20s. We need the 30s. We need the 40s. We need the toddlers. We need the teens. We need all those people in this church here. In order to do the things that God has called us to do, we need those people in this church here. I don't know too many 12-year-old kids. I don't know too many 20-year-old people. Of course, sometimes my kids think that I act like I'm 12. But anyway, so maybe I could, connect with them. But if we're going to see 100 people in this church here, it requires the people in this church here excitedly inviting people here. Can I get one amen, Carrie? There we go. I like that. Whew. Is it going to require a little bit of work, a little bit of effort? Yep. Yes.
Each one of us reaches one, we will double this congregation size
Like that. Exactly. And that's the next thing that I had on here. I had here that we should each be looking to reach one person for the kingdom of God. That's going next level. How many people have you won for the kingdom of God this year? You don't have to answer out loud. How many people have you shared the kingdom of God with this year? You don't have to answer that out loud. Because not everybody that you share the kingdom with is going to necessarily receive right away. We're going to keep going at it. But it is, like Kevin said, it's a year of increase. It's an awakening. To me, 25 is the year of awakening. We've been dormant for too long. We've been doing the same thing over and over and over every year for too long, expecting some sort of different result. And we know what that's the definition of. If we bring the life we lived in 2024 into 25, we leave no room for the new God has for us. It's okay to have those memories. But you know what? God's got, our best days are ahead of us. So I want to see us growing, each of us individually, spiritually, going to the next level. We need to see each other growing numerically to the next level. And we need to see ourselves sharing Jesus with somebody this next year. And that is so, it's not funny, but it is funny. If each one of us shared Jesus with somebody, this congregation would grow in a week, let alone a month. And you know what happens when you get more people? You can reach more people. Because I've said it before, it's not about filling the seats. It's about getting people in the seats so we can reach more people. We've got a bigger army leaving this place here to reach more people. Whew, yeah. Anybody excited? So we're going to look at a passage. It's going to be our theme passage for 2025. It's Isaiah 43. And we're going to mainly focus on verses 18 and 19. But in this passage, the prophet appeals to the powerful memory of the children of Israel. The exodus from Egypt. And I think it's in Exodus 12, 37, it said like 600,000 men left that day, which didn't include women and children. So some estimate there are around 2 million people that walked out of town that day. But he reminds them, reminds the people how God had liberated them from the oppression, how he brought them through. And I'm reminding us today how God has brought us through 2024, taking us to a greater level in 2025 because he has great things ahead of us. The prophet's also saying, you know, how he's reminding them how God devastated the powerful army that had pursued them and was actually pursued them to take them back to Egypt, to put them under the whip and the lash again, to put them in a position of servitude again. And the accounts of Exodus, you know, this was an account that was passed on from generation. The stories were told from generation to generation. But the prophet, you know, he evokes these amazing memories to comfort Israel. To comfort Israel and assure them that what God is about to do is something new. Like what God did for their ancestors centuries ago. Isaiah chapter 43, starting with verse 15. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. It is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters. He who made a way through 2024 and the junk that you went through 24. All those things, the things that tried to knock you down, the things that tried to kill you, the things that tried to hold you back. This is the Lord, the great Creator, who drew out the chariots and the horses, the army and reinforcements together and lay them there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. He not only brought out the army and the chariots, he brought out all the reserves, so he brought out the National Guard Egypt's National Guard with them, all the reserves, and put them at the bottom of the ocean, the Red Sea. Forget the former things, verse 18. Forget the former things. Okay, 2024, we had some victories there. That's okay. Good memories, all those things. Forget those former things. Don't dwell on the past. Don't dwell on the past disappointments, the discouragements, the time that you got knocked down. Don't dwell on those things. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Right now, today. Do you not perceive it? Don't you see it? I'm talking to you today that in order to tap into this new that I'm bringing to you, you got to tap into the source. You got to tap into the Word. You got to tap into the Holy Spirit. You got to walk out what it is that needs to be done. Do you not see it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wastelands. I'm making a way where there seemed to be no way. I'm making waters go through the wastelands, going through the deserts where there never was water before. You may have struggled here before, but not anymore, because I've got something to start. I've got a new thing over here. I got a different direction I want you to go. I want you to go to next level. Whoo! I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wastelands. He's about to do something new in you. Come, don't you see it? We're going to land this plane in about 3 minutes here. And we're going to take communion, and we are going to receive an offering, just so you know. Preacher, I've heard these messages before. Yeah, but if you take hold of it, if you take hold of it, if you realize that the way to go to the next level, the way to really tap in to the life that God has for you is taking His Word and saying, man, that's for me. That Word's for me. It was written to me. It may have been written by many a people over the years, but it was written to me. And when we take it personal, can't keep doing the same thing and expecting different results. If you found you've been sick a lot, you got to do something different. And the different is what the Word says. If you found that you've been friendless over the last year, you got to do something different. Maybe you got to try to be friendly to someone. If you found yourself poorer over the last year, you got to do something different. And when you do that something different of tapping into the source, walking out what the Word says, you'll find yourself prospering spirit, soul, and body. Jeremiah 29. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Read it this way. Rick, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Rick, you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Rick, you'll seek me and find me when you seek me with your whole heart. He has plans for me. God has plans for me. They're ongoing plans. And they're plans that don't fail. They're plans that give me a bright future and a great hope, a confident expectation. I can trust in Him. And when I go to Him with what's going on in my life, Lord, You said You had plans for me. I need some help. I'm talking to Him. I'm praying to Him. He said, I'll hear You. I'll answer. I'll listen. And when You seek me with Your whole heart, Rick, every plan that I have for You will come to pass. Let's go next level. 2025. I'm not done with this sermon, but we may touch on it a little bit next week too. But let's go next level in 2025. Let's become a little bit more committed to the things of God in 2025. Let's commit ourselves to one another in 2025. Everything that we do with regards to the kingdom of God, let's go to the next level. But in order to do that, you can't do it on sheer willpower. You got to tap into the source. And the source is the Word and being led by the Holy Spirit. Father God, I just thank You for this morning. I thank You that Your Word is true. I thank You that we can trust You. I thank You that we can tap into the source of Your Word, being led by Your Spirit. You spoke to us clearly in Your Word today, that all that You have belongs to Jesus, and all that He has, He speaks to the Holy Spirit and gives it to each one of us. So we have full access to the kingdom of God in whatever it is that we're faced with. Father, we want to enter 2025 next level. Our hearts and our minds focused on You. And as we do, we recognize that when we have victories, it's because of You, and we give praise to You. And when we have struggles, because Your Word says that trials will come our way, we can have faith in You, knowing that our faith in You will always bring us through. And once again, we can rejoice.